I'm Lindsay Moon. My guest is Swati Dandekar, a Democratic candidate for Iowa's 1st Congressional District, currently held by Bruce Braley. The primary is Tuesday, June 3rd. This interview is being recorded on Wednesday, May 21st. Swati, welcome. Thanks for talking with me this afternoon.
Oh, thank you, Lindsay. Thank you for giving me opportunity to talk to you.
The U.S. House has held dozens of votes to either repeal, defund, or otherwise dismantle the Affordable Care Act. President Obama has made it clear that he's not interested in signing any legislation that would do any of those things, but the law does remain unpopular, according to polls. Would you work to revise that legislation, and if so, how?
I do support Affordable Care Act. To have a good health care is a basic human right, and one of the ways I will try to make it better is by making sure that we have telemedicine so every person, doesn't matter where they live, whether they are in rural parts of Iowa or rural parts of United States, they have opportunity to get great healthcare services. The second one is I am going to give, my plan is to to give students who go into healthcare profession, give them forgivable loans if they serve underserved parts of United States, and that includes rural parts of United States and also the veterans hospitals.
You've had experience serving on lots of governing bodies. You were serving on the Iowa Utilities Board as a state legislator and in the House and in the Senate. You were also the first Democratic woman to chair the Senate Commerce Committee. How have those experiences prepared you to serve in Congress?
I'm the one person who is who has the experience at all three levels. You forgot to talk about the school board. I was on Linmar School Board, so it really gives me in-depth knowledge how it works at the local level. And, of course, I was in Iowa House and in Iowa Senate. And, of course, then as an Iowa Utilities Board, I had to work with other commissioners in other states. And I was also chair of National Foundation for Women Legislator. So I have experience at all three levels. The National Foundation for Women Legislator is the bipartisan organization where women legislator elected me to be their leader. And I have always worked tirelessly for what I think is best for state of Iowa, what I think is best for United States of America. And that knowledge and that experience is going to help me in Washington, D.C., because I feel that to find a place, what I call a common ground, is a strength, not a weakness. And that's what I'll do, find a common ground to do what is best for our country, to do what is best for Iowa. That's what I'll be doing, and I will work tirelessly to do what is best for state of Iowa and for our this great country, United States of America.
You're campaigning to join Congress at a time when it's at its approval ratings or maybe the lowest they've been in history, hovering in the low to mid-teens in some cases. How do you think we got to that point?
Because I think policymakers at this moment are not doing what is best for our country or what is best for our citizens. I am going to do what is best for our state. I'm going to do what is best for our nation. I really think it is time for somebody like me to say that let's work together. I'm an immigrant. I came here with good education. I was armed with good education, and I could achieve my American dream because I had good education, and that's what I'm going to do. I am going to try to get the best education for our children in this global economy. And I know when I have 10 great ideas, I may not get all of them all at once, But I tell my friends, if I get three things out of seven the first year, I will take it and run with it, because next year I will just have to work on seven. And that's what our leaders did before. When they worked with each other, they didn't get everything they wanted all at once. Right now in Congress, everybody asks for my way, or they say, or I'm not going to get anything done. And as you know, when you say my way or highway, you end up doing nothing. And I am a person in this field of candidates that thinks it's okay. If I want 10 things and if I get three things, I will take it and then work on the other seven next year, because we have to do what is best for our state of Iowa, what is best for this country in this global economy.
When you mention being able, one of your strengths is being able to find middle ground and you would work to compromise, what are some of the issues or areas that you see yourself willing to compromise and reach across the aisle on specifically?
Well, I'm not going to say exactly where I'm going to compromise, because the situation may be different. That's why I'm saying that it will be, the word is, I will look for common ground. On a given situation, if I say I'm going to compromise on this and not compromise on that, I'm already having this line in sand saying, well, I'm not going to do this or I'm not going to do that. I am going to have a conversation with every legislator in Washington, D.C., what I think is right for United States of America and what is right for, of course, for Iowa. And there are a couple of things I will not compromise on, and they are Medicare and Social Security. It is very important for us to protect those two things, because, again, it is it has to be there for our senior citizens.
What do you think is one thing that you could do in Congress to help create jobs in Iowa?
High-speed internet. In this global economy, if we do not have high-speed internet or broadband, we will not be able to compete in global economy. So I have said time and time again when I meet with citizens in District 1 and citizens from Iowa, that's one thing I'm going to do is make sure that we have high-speed internet so our jobs will be there for all of us. And we don't need haves and have-nots. When you have high-speed internet, companies can go anywhere and be successful. Because you asked me what is one thing you will do when for economic growth, that's what I will do, high-speed internet, because high-speed internet will give us telemedicine. High-speed internet will give us great education for our children, because children, doesn't matter whether they are in rural parts of Iowa or urban parts of Iowa, they will be able to take advanced placement online anywhere they are. And to compete in the global economy, you have to have, again, good education and, of course, affordable health care for all of us so our economy can thrive.
A March Iowa poll shows that 65% of people support an increase in the minimum wage. Would you support an increase?
Yes, I do support increase in minimum wage, and I support $11. And I say when by the time I am in Congress in 2015, really it should be $11 an hour. And I have also suggested that I'm not going to make a political football because at this moment we don't do what is right. We really need to do what we did for Social Security in early 1970s, where we tied Social Security and Medicare to COLA. And that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to tie minimum wage to COLA, that's cost of living adjustment. And I will do it in steps. So when small and mid-sized businesses, they hire people, they know exactly how it's going to happen, and they will be aware of it, and they will also know what's going to happen in 2016, 2017, 2018. So there will be no surprises for small businesses and mid-sized businesses or large businesses.
There are proposed changes to the renewable fuel standard, and those seem to signal that the administration might move away from grain-based alternatives to conventional fuels. What would you do in Washington to work in a bipartisan way on energy policy that would benefit Iowans but still have appeal nationally?
Well, I think it's a part of education. We have to educate at the grassroots level why renewable fuels are important for our economy. I think that is the important part. I will educate not only my colleagues that how important it is for us to have renewable energy, how important it is for us to have wind tax credits, because those are clean energy. Why it is important to have solar energy tax credits? Why it is important to have wind energy tax credits? Why it is important to have research and development for our renewable energy? All those things need to be put from an education point of view, because when you educate your colleagues the importance of having renewable energy, I will be able to pass those legislation, because not only it is good for our environment, it is good for Iowa's economy, and it is also very, very good for our nation's economy. And to me, that's how I will approach it. Educate my colleagues, educate United States public about the importance of renewable energy.
Even with the former Iowa governor heading up the Ag Department, farmers were kept in limbo over new farm policies. For example, the farm bill that was supposed to be renewed in 2012 wasn't signed until February of this year. How would you represent the interests of agriculture and rural communities in an environment and in a district that's heavily urban?
I have always done that. Our farmer friends will tell you that though I come from urban area, I have always done a very good job of representing them. They know that I will be there for them. I have always shown time and time again that I do care for them with my votes. I did that in Iowa House and in Iowa Senate. They really will not doubt that I do understand how important farm economy is for us. And when I'm in Congress, I will try to sell our value-added goods to other countries. An example is corn oil, soybean oil. I know there are countries who need edible oils, and those are value-added economy. It helps Iowa, and it helps our farmers. So, and I have done that. If you go and ask them, what do you think of Swati Dandekar, and will she help you? I know that they will say, yes, she has been there for us, and she will be there for us in U.S. Congress.
You mentioned that you've cared for farmers with your votes when you were serving in the Iowa legislature. Can you maybe give an example of a vote that would have benefited Iowa farmers?
I think when I was working on Iowa Values Fund with other legislators, I remember the farmers came and talked about coming up giving tax credits for what we call the value-added economy. That was one thing they wanted us to add, and I had done that. We had worked on it because the value-added economy is very, very important. And the other one was the farmers wanted me to protect the eminent domain laws. And that time, I took sides of farmers because they wanted me to protect eminent domain laws for them. And that was one vote I'm very proud of. And I know that time I went against our governor, Governor Tom Vilsack, but I did it because that was the right thing to do.
Nearly every candidate who's running for office says that they want to cut government waste and bring down the deficit. Can you name a program or a department that you would cut and why?
You know, it's not I have to look at the program. I am by nature a scientist. So I will do research, and sometimes you streamline a program. Sometimes you streamline a department. You don't cut it. It is better to streamline it and make it proficient and make it and use what different methods to streamline it to save money. And to me, that's how you do it. When I'm in Congress, I'm going to go and look at each program and see how it could be streamlined and how it could be how can we make it better. And the services are there for the citizens of United States. By saying today I'm going to cut this and cut that program, that's not the right approach. You look at the program and see how it has changed and how can we change it to make it better and streamline it. And that's how I will do it.
Are we spending enough as a country on national defense?
I think we have to take care of our veterans. We have to. And when you ask that question on the budget of defense, that includes our veterans' health care. That includes how do we take care of them. When I go to Washington, D.C., when I look at the budget, I'm going to make sure that the VA hospitals are in great shape. I am going to make sure that our veterans are taken care of. So that's how I will do it when I say I will streamline it. I will look at it, but we have to take care of our veterans, especially when they come back from Afghanistan. And, of course, they will be coming back. Some of them are still in Iraq. But we have to take care of them. And when I look at the budget, that's what I'll be looking at.
Immigration reform is an important issue to Iowa, but it's stalled in Congress. What mm-hmm. immigration reforms would you support?
Well, I support the Senate version of immigration bill, and I do support the DREAM Act. I did that when I was in Iowa House.
According to figures from NASA, 75% of climate scientists agree that climate warming trends over the past century are likely due to human activities. The leading science organizations have also issued public statements endorsing that position. Do you believe the science on climate change, and should the government act on this issue?
I'm a scientist, yes. This is a global climate change, and the void is global when I talk to people, because we have to look at it from a holistic point of view, because all of us will have to work to make sure that we have great environment for our children and our grandchildren. And the word is global climate change. Because of that word global climate change, I'm one person who says that the global climate change should be part of our foreign policy. We have to work with other countries, and it has to be part of our foreign policy. And the classic example is what Secretary of State Hillary Clinton did when she was Secretary of State. She came up with a great solution when women in India were cutting softwood and cooking on it. They were cooking breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And she worked with government of India. She worked with the local government. She worked with the education centers, educated these women how important it is not to cut the softwood and use natural gas chulas. They cook on stove called chulas in India, and it's C-H-U-L-A-S. And now all these young women are cooking on natural gas chulas instead of burning wood. So that is a small example what we can do in foreign policy and educate people.
Earlier this week, Liz Mathis, a Democrat from Cedar Rapids, endorsed Monica Vernon. Sometimes endorsements mean a lot, sometimes they don't. Will this endorsement matter to your campaign in the primary?
I am doing what is best for District 1. I am going to coffees. I am going to, I'm knocking on doors. And to me, I have a plan. My campaign has a plan. My staff has a field plan. So what we are doing is we have a plan. We are going to stick to our plan of knocking on doors, making phone calls, going to coffees, shaking hands, and talking to people. And so that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to focus on the plan I have, and I really do not pay attention to what other campaigns are doing.
You gave up recently what some consider to be a, quote, safe seat in the legislature. Do you think that this endorsement signals at all that the Democratic Party in Iowa might be disgruntled with you in some way?
Well, I worked very hard to get Liz Mathis elected. I was the one who suggested that she will be a good candidate after I decided to take my job at the Iowa Utilities Board. I helped her. My husband and I, we knocked on doors for her when Liz Mathis was running in special election. I remember both Arvin and I would go and knock on doors every weekend when I would come back from Des Moines. And we also helped her raise money for her campaign. So I did what was best for Democrats to keep that seat and have those 26 senators in Democratic side. And we know what the results were. Liz Mathis won with 56%.